You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The first question in Scripture, do you know what it is? Spoken by the serpent about God, the question needs an answer by America today.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour.
Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by one of our guest speakers. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
Turn to God in prayer. Let us remember our nation as we all prepare to celebrate the 199th anniversary of its founding. Our Heavenly Father, we remember with thanksgiving all that you have given to the world through the United States of America. We thank you that you have spoken so often and eloquently to our founders and leaders, instilling in their hearts principles of justice and freedom. Speak on, O Lord, and give us ready ears, eager to hear what you say in your word, and what you say most clearly through your Son, Jesus Christ. We need your direction now as never before. Speak, Lord. Speak and make us hungry to hear. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I wasn't prepared that day early in my ministry for the man who came unannounced into my office in an obviously agitated state and said, "Pastor, God spoke to me last night." My first inclination was to soothe him with words like, "Of course he did. God speaks to all of us in one way or another," hoping to calm my troubled brother. Deep in my heart, I was surprised to hear a man make such an admission. I had never heard the voice of God. I mean, really heard the voice of God. Was there something wrong with me? Was there something wrong with this man? Was he in a state of shock? Had he undergone some befuddling experience that made him think he had heard the voice of God? About then, I realized how foolish I was. What's so impossible about God speaking to man? Didn't I believe that he miraculously calls people to faith through his Holy Spirit? Didn't I believe that he sent his Son into the flesh in order to earn salvation for us all? If God could do all that, why did I wonder whether it was possible for him to speak directly to one of his creatures? With those newer thoughts in my mind, I responded to my distraught visitor and asked an obvious question. I asked, "What did God say?" People may debate all they wish about how God has communicated to one or another of his creatures in our time or at some time in the past, but that's not really the point. Whether he speaks in English vocables to 20th century man, or in some Semitic language to a nomadic people of old, it is just as important to give attention to what he said as it is to consider how or where or to whom he said it. Thousands of years before my little pastoral experience, an event intriguingly similar took place in the Garden of Eden. Interestingly enough, the discussion in this instance between Eve and the serpent was not about whether God had spoken. They focused their discussion on what he said. I'd like to share that moment with you as it's recorded in Scripture, Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any other wild creature the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say, 'You shall not eat of any tree of the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You shall not die.'" Based on that portion of Scripture, I have an exciting and important message to bring to my fellow citizens of the United States. Simply put, it's this: God is speaking to you, America. Today, but a few hours removed from the 199th celebration of our nation's birthday, God again wants to speak to us through His Word. He will bring to us words of judgment, words of warning, words of instruction, words of help, but most important of all, words of grace, peace, and forgiveness in the person and ministry of His Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Are you ready to listen? God speaking? If only He would address Himself to the vast social, moral, and economic questions we face. Why doesn't God say something about the recession, war, the abuse of our nation's natural resources, crime, family tensions, and the other things that bother us? Because of these things, some say, I want to hear God's voice. If only God would say something. If only God could speak. I cry out to Him, reach out to Him, demand of Him. In return, all I hear is silence. Their prayer is the prayer of the psalmist who said, "To Thee, O Lord, I call. My rock, be not deaf to me, lest, if Thou be silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit." But God is speaking, not just one way, but in so many different ways. Let me tell you about some of the ways that God is speaking to all of us. One of the first scripture verses I learned as a child came from the 19th Psalm. "The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims His handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge." I didn't need to know what firmament meant in order to understand what this verse of Scripture was saying. As a young boy growing up in the subtle wonder of Kansas, I saw the liveliness of that utterly complex and exciting thing we call nature. Some people look at nature and see only grass and trees and birds and flowers and other delightful novelties without ever hearing the eloquent message that nature speaks. But other men hear the voice, and hear it quite clearly. Albert Einstein heard. He once said, "The most incomprehensible thing about nature is its comprehensibility." He meant everything out there fits. Everything dovetails. Everything links. Everything is related to everything in just the right proportions. Who can look at the intricate wonder of the great outdoors without wondering about the someone who made it that way? How clearly creation evidences the Creator. "The heavens declare His righteousness, and all the people see His glory," says the psalmist. The message of the rainbow, explained in Genesis 9, and the witness of the nourishing rain and the changing seasons, pointed to by Paul in Acts chapter 14, are all witnessing that God is speaking to you, America, in nature. But nature isn't God's only messenger. The very course of human history speaks a message. God is talking to us in events, using people, nations, and circumstances to call us to a consciousness of who He is and what we are. The great flood spoken of in Scripture and verified by so many scientific findings is a message for time and eternity that says, God will not always forbear or be patient with man's sinfulness. The history of the people of Israel, from their deliverance in Egypt to their ultimate downfall, speaks clearly of God's graciousness and tender care in the face of unfaithfulness, insensitivity to human needs, and the abuse of both the Creator and the creature. In the Bible, we hear of the prophets who first anticipated and then interpreted national and natural disasters as messages from God, expressing expressing the foolishness of selfishness, the danger of arrogance, the futility of human pride. Hitler's was not the first nation intended to last 1,000 years that didn't even make its 25th birthday. The pages of history are peppered with the bold plans of men, the careful plotting of leaders, and the conviction of a long-term destiny which died barely aborning. Open your own newspapers. Look at the events that are spread out there before your eyes. See how men parade across those pages with their latest last word on what will bring ultimate progress and peace to mankind. Yet it's only a matter of time before some new crisis, some new human need, some new event overwhelms us all and sends our best laid plans skittering down the halls of history unfulfilled. Those events are God speaking to you. They say, put not your trust in princes or presidents or premiers or Nobel Peace Prize winners, in a son of man in whom there is no help. The accumulated testimony of human history and events is that man is totally incapable of helping himself, and that he desperately needs the loving hand of the one who first called all creation into being. God speaks through history and human events. God does speak to us through nature. He does speak to us through the course of human events. But those voices present considerable problems for all men. How do we know about the love of God from a tree? That's why God speaks to us in another voice, the voice of Scripture, the Holy Bible. The writer to the Hebrews begins his letter saying, in many and various ways, God spoke of old to our fathers by the prophets. And how clearly he did speak. Those prophetic words are known by us today as the Holy Scripture. St. Paul spoke about those prophetic words to his spiritual son Timothy when he said, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God, and it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Paul heard God speaking in the Word of God. He heard the prophetic word as an ageless message, the spicy words of Micah calling for justice, humility, and mercy, were as appropriate to the later times of James and John, as they were in the moment they were first spoken. God's lively law is as applicable today as it was when first offered to the children of Israel through his spokesman Moses at Mount Sinai. The truth shed upon mankind from God through Elijah, David, Jonah, Isaiah, cuts as crisply to the quick in every age as the moment when the ear of man first heard it. God's ancient message, spoken upon all men for all time, still vibrates within our ears with the freshness of the latest hit record. God speaks to us through his word, and God's voice has one other dimension, which clearly reveals the intent of the heart of the one who speaks and the intent of the message he has spoken for all time. Hear again what the writer to the Hebrews says. In many and various ways, God spoke of old to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things. That Son is his clearest message. I mean, Jesus Christ, the one whom the gospel writer John called the Word made flesh. We are to hear Jesus Christ. On the Mount of Transfiguration, the Father, speaking of Jesus, said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. What a sweet word God speaks upon us with his Son when we listen. In him he clearly shows his intention for us, his goal for our life, and his love. To any serpents who still ask today, did God really say? You and I may and must respond. He certainly did. He spoke and speaks through nature, through human events, through Scripture, and through his Son, the Savior, Jesus Christ. So there is a voice. Maybe you're willing to say it's the voice of God. But what specifically does it say? That's the critical question. What does it say to each one of us, to our nation? When God's word speaks upon the hearts and minds of mankind by whatever means, it always first frightens, for it exposes us for what we are. It shows how much we have to learn. It chides, censures, and criticizes us. It instructs us in righteousness by contrasting our lives as we live them with our lives as they ought to be lived. Yet, if that was all the message God had for us, who would want to listen? But that's not all. Through the birth, life, death, resurrection, ascension, and reigning power of his Son, he speaks upon our heart of pardon and peace for all our transgressions, and of divine strength to rise up and try again. We can change. It is through that one that we have been forgiven, through his Son, that we are offered the assurance of the abundant life here and a continuation of that abundant life into all eternity. God would speak upon your heart, America, through his Son and through other things, bringing you a forgiveness which he has earned for you, no matter what you have done. For 199 years of insensitivity, abuse, spiritual nonchalance, pride, arrogance, injustice, and merciless misuse of his bounty, God wants to speak to you. And his message? Hear him speak to us in the words of Isaiah, the first chapter.
Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken.
A message of warning. A message of hope. America, God is speaking to you. And Americans, God is speaking to you. Let him speak to your life, whatever that life may be. Hear his voice in the most private corner of your being. That voice will certainly be a reproving voice. For there is so much about each one of us that needs chastening. It will be a teaching voice. For there is so much all of us have to learn. It will be a voice instructing us how to live. For we daily need his divine direction. But the last sentence of that voice, for all who will hear it and claim it to themselves, will be his word of loving forgiveness and blessed assurance in the redemption earned by and offered all of us in Christ Jesus the Lord. America, Americans, God is speaking to you. Hear him. Amen.